If you love the national parks as much as we do, then we have a book recommendation for you.
Moon USA National Parks Hiking is a brand new guidebook from Moon Travel Guides that covers the top 100 hikes across 40 U.S. national parks.
Whether you want to descend into the Grand Canyon, stroll the shoreline in Acadia, or cling to the cliff edges in Shenandoah, Moon USA National Parks Hiking gives you the inspiration to find the perfect hike for you and the practical planning tips to make it happen. You'll find everything from easy, family-friendly hikes to strenuous, multi-day treks, plus tips for wildlife watching, backpacking, finding solitude, and more.
This book is an essential resource for National Parks fans, as well as a fantastic holiday gift for any outdoorsy people on your list.
You can find Moon USA National Parks Hiking wherever books are sold, or click the link in our show notes. And if you don't already have a copy on your shelf, be sure to also check out the original award-winning best-selling guide that started it all, Moon USA National Parks.
Find your trail and prepare for an unforgettable journey in America's top national parks with Moon Travel Guides. Moon, let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
So let's talk about mentally preparing for something that doesn't ultimately happen.
You mean like a relationship?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you say my relationship?
I mean a relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like a fart in the wind. Gone.
Sure. I mean, yeah, we're going to go there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Preparing for something that doesn't ultimately happen.
Yeah. I mean, you did kind of set me up for that.
Well, I mean specifically like mentally preparing for something like going wrong or ending or
you mean like
not
a relationship?
Going your way. Right. Which could be like a relationship. Right.
Just keep walking down
I
that
know.
Path. Of
I know.
Evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess my question is.
Well, we're breaking up.
For you.
Sorry.
Because I'm somebody that mentally prepares for things that ultimately never happen all the time.
This is the darkness I never knew was inside of you.
That's not true. Yes, you do. I've talked about this.
But higher.
Yes, you do. No, I'm saying like you, I mean, that's my MO all the time as I'm thinking about all of the different ways things can go. And I'm like, okay, well, the absolute worst version of this is this. So I've gotten a whole lot better now later in my life than certainly my 20s. That's all I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I have to operate from a place of everything is going to turn out absolutely the worst way possible so that I can be prepared in the event that that happens. And I didn't ultimately find that that ever really happened that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Worst case scenarios, you mean?
Yeah. Worst case scenarios, yeah. Just like putting them, I stopped putting them at the front of the docket of my, you know, mental real estate.
Got it. Got it.
How about you?
I guess so. I mean, I just assume that I feel like I assume the worst. And then if when it's not, then it's, you know, you're pleasantly surprised, right?
I mean, sure.
I feel like that's a way that some of us mean.
But then isn't the bar just like so low for like what impresses you? That's my thing, is I don't want the bar to be low for what impresses me.
Well, I don't think I'm like that.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, somebody showed up minimally today. Mm-hmm. I'm so impressed. It's like, no.
I don't know if that like leans into impression, but I feel like I just have found that it's more satisfying to not be dissatisfied, especially with and in people. I set myself up for real low. And then when people pass that expectation, then I'm like, oh my God. So wonderful.
Mm, yeah.
It's like a nice little surprise.
Yeah, true.
I just feel like I have come to try to release myself of expectation. Maybe that's
sure.
where I'm going. So maybe it's not necessarily planning for the worst or ultimately planning for things to not work out. I try my best because what I found in my younger life is that expectation would crush me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like I go in with no expectation, maybe, as opposed to low expectation. And so then I'm just usually happy no matter what.
Well, expectation is just premeditated disappointment.
Yeah.
Right. I'm curious though about when you let go of thinking about and planning for the worst case scenario, mm-hmm. right? Like, I feel like it, like, I don't know, like, and this may be new age woo woo of me, but I do feel like it gives energy toward the best case. It like sure. gives energy in that direction.
Well, there's power in the surrendering.
Yeah. And also like,
I hear Frau Frau once said there's beauty in the breakdown.
Yeah, that's right. There is beauty in the breakdown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let go, let go.
Exactly.
Right. Cause we are just at this in. Time, a mid aughts romantic comedy using that Frau Frau mm-hmm. song.
It's true.
So many movies did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it gives some positive energy in that direction. And yeah. I think that's a good thing. I think sometimes we can't really imagine what the best case scenario is. When it happens, it's like something that comes out later.
Yeah, but
it's
kind like, of out of left field.
That too. Was actually wonderful. And I never even saw that coming. And it's also allowing room for us to be surprised.
Sorry, I'm just realizing you have hair that's going like this across your forehead.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land, also known as Death Valley National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Kwai Sioux and Western Shoshone people.
Okay, so it is officially now our second day in Death Valley National Park.
Our first full day.
But first yes, full day. We had arrived the day before. We'd gone to the visitor center, scoped out the trails we wanted to do. This was one of them they always recommend. This was one that we had on the list from the beginning, which is Golden Canyon. Now, Golden Canyon is one that can be made into a big old loop.
Yep.
And that is what we did.
That's right. Golden Canyon to Gower Gulch. We should just give a little shout out here. So first of all, thank you to all the rangers at Death Valley National Park, specifically Jeffrey, who is a friend of the pod, had reached out to us when we were producing our Big Bend episodes to talk about some of the invasive wildlife that was in Big Bend that we thought was a bighorn sheep, but was not. And so Jeff was like, hey, listen, when you're in Death Valley, stop by the visitor center. I'd love to meet, would happily like give you some recommendations for things to do in the park when you're here. And so it was really great to go through the visitor center, get a chance to talk to him, stand in front of that sign that said like 103 degrees, kick it real early.
Oh,
that
it
night.
Wasn't like 103 no, degrees.
It was
103 mm-hmm. degrees. Mm-hmm. This is one of the most popular trails in Death Valley National Park, and we were thrilled to get to do it. That morning, we were up and out early because we had to hike early and often. This was a canyon hike that did get us up in elevation some.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it was a canyon level hike.
Yep.
So it was going to get hot
real quick
in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We wanted to start this very early.
We also all slept pretty poorly, or at least those of us in a tent, because we could not fight the moonlight because it was a full moon. If you listen to our last episode,
we did not have the rain fly.
We did not have the rain fly. The moon was, I think, the brightest I have ever seen a moon in my life.
Well, this is a dark sky park.
Yeah.
So that moon was bright. And so we drive from the Furnace Creek campsite where we were staying to the parking lot, which is found on Badwater Road. It's the same road we had to take to get to
Badwater Basin
and the Salt Flats. And so it is possible to access up this loop as well from another point, which is Zabriskie Point, which is not on Badwater Road. That's on 190, which is one of the main roads into the park and through the park. You can take 190 over to Zabriskie Point, which is, you'll hear about later in this episode. And you could also access this entire loop that we're about to do from there. But we wanted to access it from the parking lot over on Badwater Road. So we went there and we parked. And when we pulled in, that parking lot was
fairly empty. Not completely, but
it was basically empty,
which, again, good things to do because we wanted to be there early to A, get parking, which would definitely be not what we were seeing upon our return, and B, to avoid the heat. We assumed, or at least I did, in the parking lot there was a bathroom, a pit toilet, and it almost looked like the trailhead had a starting point which went off to the left, and it almost looked like there was a path coming down behind the pit toilet. And I was like, oh, that must be where we end the loop. Incorrect. So we would come out at a different spot when we came out later from Gower Gulch, but we can easily see as we initially start this hike why it's called Golden Canyon.
The color.
I mean, even before the sun was up and highlighting the yellow earth, you could tell the pale yellow of the rock. It was something that you don't usually see. The only time I can really kind of recall such strong yellow earth was Yellow Mounds, Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
There were echoes of that here. As we walk out into the first leg of this hike, it's flat, and then it's like giant slanted pieces of earth on either side, like cathedral height.
Very
huge.
Dramatic.
Very dramatic. And there's these big runoffs on the rock where water, when the water is there, if rain does happen, you can see how the water gets down.
Kind of down these rivulets.
Yep. These rivulets that has happened in these mounds. And this is all over the first mile of the trail. Now, in total, this trail is a 5.3 mile loop the way that we're doing it, because there is a little bit of an offshoot that you're going to hear about very soon. And it's only a half mile offshoot, but doing it adds a mile to the trail.
Yeah.
And we did do it.
Yeah.
So we continue on the first leg of this trail. It feels very much like Star Wars. And part of Star Wars was filmed here, especially the shot where the Jawas were watching R2-D2.
In the first film,
it was filmed in Death Valley.
This kind of feels like, I remember walking this section and it almost felt like land that had been excavated. Like it felt like a excavation pit for like sand or gravel, just because of how large and massive everything was. Kind of daunting to just walk through. It's kind of wild that this is a naturally occurring canyon. It feels very much so like there's a touch of human-made here.
While we're walking, Becky points out this huge rock that has cracked open, and inside of it is a whole bunch of other rocks, and they're like fossil rocks inside of another rock. She also points out some ripples in the rock that were naturally occurring, and I didn't know what they were or why they were there. And she shared that it was because of seawater. The seawater that used to be here caused the ripple in the rock like that.
About a half mile in, we get a great view of Red Cathedral with the Golden Canyon mounds in front of it. It's basically a very soft tan color against a very dark, warm, reddish brown. And this is sort of the offshoot destination that we are headed towards first.
These mounds that are all around us, they are made of sediment. They do look like dunes, but they're not considered dunes because they are not wind formed. They are in fact carved by water. Becky and I were walking together and we did spot a mound with some broken pieces, and we can see inside of it some layers of salt, like crystals between the rock.
As we're walking, there are some what looks to be offshoots in the canyon where it may be confusing as far as which way to go. What we actually have here, and which happens a few other times in Death Valley, is either words or specifically directional arrows that are made in stone. So we come across this arrow, which is a cairn. This gives us the right direction to go to, because there are some other lower areas of the canyon that look like that could be the right direction, but they're just really these kind of runoffs that are naturally there and would basically end up being a dead end and really not give you anything.
But could be confusing if the arrow Charon wasn't there.
If the arrow
and
Charon.
It's literally just a bunch of small rocks in the shape of an arrow
on the ground.
The direction.
Yep.
Which leads us to the second leg of the trail, which is the Red Cathedral. The Red Cathedral is an offshoot from this main trail, and we got to the junction of this. We could go right, go toward the Gower Gulch Loop Trail, which is ultimately what we're headed toward, but instead we go straight and we head toward the Red Cathedral area. We do spot some examples of salt crystals running between layers in a mound here that are also bisecting the mound, sort of like we did before.
Ahead, there are these unbelievable striations in the rocks and the mounds, and many have these upward curves to them, and they're kind of like a natural parabola. We do get to a point where things start to narrow here. So this offshoot starts to become much narrower. We do get some overhead at certain points. Becky basically was like, I've done this before. I don't have any interest in getting through some tighter spaces right now. I'm just going to hang here. You can leave whatever you want. So Dusty and Cynthia and I proceeded forward. You left your bag, but I took mine. And so did Cynthia and I took my poles too. And we just start to march our way towards Red Cathedral.
And this sort of feels like a hallway that gets narrower and narrower mm-hmm. and narrower. It takes some... I also left my poles.
Yeah, you did.
And it takes some like hands and feet climbing up to get through some spots.
I wish I had left my poles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we came to a point where... We were in this like gorgeous overhang where there are this rounded overhang above us, and we were coming up around this slanted, it was a slanted trail that came up through this overhang.
Like a spiraled ramp almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that kind of spit us out into this beautiful overlook and over these mounds.
Right.
And it was wonderful. And so we did scramble our way up to the landing. And then from the top, we could see there were some desire paths heading out across the mound.
This is where we needed to make a decision. And Cynthia's like, yeah, I have no interest in doing a desire path right now. There were some paths that look like, oh, well, you might just be able to take that out and get a better viewpoint. But maybe you can also scramble down back into the part of the canyon, the offshoot of the canyon, where it's a little wider. And I think we were both sort of like, yeah, let's do it.
So we did. We did. Cynthia went back the way we came. We decided to take one of these because these are mounds. So it was okay to walk on them like this. So we decided to go out. We are literally on the top apex of this one mound and we start heading downhill. And at first, it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. And there are some turns and there are some curves and all is good. And then we finally got to an area where it got trickier.
Yeah.
Because the dirt got a little bit looser and we had to do some sitting and some scooting.
And we weren't terribly high up, but it wouldn't have been fun to fall down.
Well,
here.
No, never. So very quickly, this became slightly treacherous because we were like, okay, we have to think about where we're putting our feet and our hands the whole time. Cynthia definitely had the right idea to go back the way we came. Basically, where we came down was where Becky had decided to
hang back. Yeah.
So we came down like kind of from the top.
A little in front of her. I have to say that I'm not usually one to feel the fear of heights. And I definitely was felt a little sketchy about what we were doing. I think also having my poles didn't help. And it was before I had collapsible poles, so they couldn't really get too far down and in my bag. You definitely were someone who is not a fan of heights or hasn't been. And you were just like a cat at midnight.
I kind of was. I'm not going
to
lie.
To borrow from my...
The tables turned. I kind of was excited to go down that way. We do. We make it down. You were shocked. You were like, I can't believe you did that. That didn't scare you. And I was like, actually, no.
Yeah.
I think the exposure therapy is working. We reunite with Becky and Cynthia down there. And we tell them what we just did. And then we head back the way we came in to head back out to that junction where we just were, which brought us to the third leg of the hike. Mm-hmm. So we went back out and we turned left, which is taking us toward what would then later be Zabriskie Point and also later be
the Gower Gulch Loop.
Mm-hmm. So we're on this third leg. Then the landscape changes again.
This becomes a long, flat uphill to a saddle. It is kind of like a never-ending staircase. It felt like a never-ending staircase. Like, I just truly felt like we were on this ramp forever.
Right. Isn't this where, this is where Cynthia had lost her sunglasses?
She did.
That's right. When I was walking into Red Cathedral, I saw that a pair of sunglasses were on the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just pick them up because I don't want to leave them here as garbage.
Right.
And who knows? I don't know if they belong to anybody. And then Cynthia, while we were making this turn in the junction, was like, oh my God, I lost my sunglasses. And I was like, oh, are these them?
You mean
and
these?
They were. So yeah, it was like a really tight little like squeeze through at first, and then it spit us onto this long flat uphill that mm-hmm. you're describing.
When we're on this, we're looking at this peak in the distance, and this is called Manly Beacon, which makes a lot of sense now. Didn't know it at the time because Badwater Basin was originally Lake Manly 10,000, 11,000 years ago. This is also named for that explorer of, you know, your Manly, whatever his first name was. But this is like, it feels very much so a fantasy film, and we're headed towards this impressive rock monolith.
What was great at that time was that because we were so early, the sun was right behind Manly.
Oh, yeah. We were just in the shade.
We were in the shade the whole time mm-hmm. on this uphill, which mm-hmm. would have been great. Had mm-hmm. we been in the direct sun in this uphill, that would have been awful.
Yeah.
What I did find to be very important here on this particular leg of this hike was to turn around.
Oh my God.
Because turning around was the most incredible view.
Yeah.
And I just kept turning around, taking lots of photos, and the light was spilling onto the mounds, and like the sky was so blue. It was like this ombre blue of like indigo all the way to like light blue, and then it had all the different colors of the of Golden Canyon like just featured there. It was gorgeous. Seeing this in the morning light was absolutely worth it.
Eventually we get to the saddle line, and this is a short level section, which takes us over to another saddle, and we kind of like wind around Manly Beacon for this, and then we find ourselves looking onto a mound wonderland.
This was truly mound wonderland, and what we're calling the fourth leg of this hike. Mound wonderland was pretty flat. Like, there was some decline into it and then into some mounds, and then it's just going through and around mounds.
Yeah.
And
there were some darker, like, ranges in the distance above the yellow mounds. But
which is a great contrast.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing about this, and especially it being so early, is that it was so silent.
Yeah.
There was no sound here at all.
This is already becoming a Seven Realms trail. We have a few of these, like South Rim in Big Bend and Sliding Sands in Haleakala. What's the other?
Sayi. Glacier. That's right. I'm like sure there's one in Acadia. We have a loop in Acadia that we did that was super epic.
Yeah.
That is also Seven Realms.
So it definitely has just taken us, even though we're fairly deserty here, we've had enough landscape change that it definitely qualifies. We are up and over these mounds, which are considered to be badlands. Is that what you're trying to say there? Okay. As we continue through the mounds, we do find the junction for Gower Gulch Loop. And this is where we hit what would be our fifth leg, which is going to take us up to Zabriskie Point.
Now, we have a choice to make here. We could either go to the left and go to Zabriskie Point, which would be also a parking lot, because there's a parking lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Or we head to the right to go to the Gower Gulch Loop. Now, we could take this right. This right would ultimately be like a shortcut to connect to what we would eventually be on after going to Zabriskie Loop. So essentially right here, we either go to the left and go the long way around onto what will ultimately be our final trail, or we go to the right and take a shortcut onto what would ultimately be our last remaining piece of the trail. But we decide to go to the left to Zabriskie Point. So the first thing we have to do is do an up and over. So we do this first. And this up and over, it's pretty quick, but we have to kind of like zigzag our way up to the top of this mound in order to be able to see what's beyond us. And what we see is, one, it's a stunning and incredible view. We can see Zabriskie Point in the distance. We can see some ranges to the right. But in order to do what we need to do, we got to go down before we can go up again.
Eventually, once we hit that low point, we do head up on, again, what is quite an incline here, almost like the ledge, or almost like the incline up to Manly Beacon. It feels a little bit more intense. There is a little bit of circuitous and serpentine winding here, but this is a pretty tall peak that we're going to have to climb and head up. On the way up, we see this incredible mound that was darker on the top with lots of runoffs, and it became lighter as it went down, more golden, sort of like an ombre, or like it had low lights.
And that was over to the right. And we can see that the entire time as we're climbing. And it's funny because there is, while climbing this section, because this is the section that brings us to Zabriskie Point, which is like a place where one can stand and look out and see a gorgeous view. There's a sense of like climbing on top of the mound, or sort of taking a little path around the mound, but still heading up. We were on top of the mound walking up, and then we finally got to a place where we kind of had to do some zigzags all the way to the top. We do all of this, and then we finally arrive at like, what is Zabriskie Point? Because there's a stone wall that's been built around it. And because of where the sun is, we can sit in the shade.
Right. And so, listen to someone who's playing guitar.
And there's someone playing guitar in the distance. And a lot of people just sitting here taking in the sunshine at this place in Death Valley. And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, Mike, you know what I was thinking?
What?
Whether we're hiking trails in national parks or camping, it's so important for us to have a really good cup of coffee in the mornings.
Oh my God, it's the thing that gets us up and gets us going, for sure. And if you haven't tried AeroPress coffee yet, you're in for a treat. AeroPress uses a completely unique brew method, and because of that, you get a delicious cup of coffee that you can only get with AeroPress.
And it's a coffee maker that you can take with you wherever you go, and it doesn't break, and it isn't bulky.
AeroPress combines the best qualities of a few coffee brewing methods into one brewer. A little French press, a little pour over, a little espresso, because it takes the best of all three. It just might be the best cup of classic coffee you'll ever drink.
AeroPress was designed to fit your lifestyle. Unlike other brewers, you can take this exceptional coffee anywhere you go and along with any activity you do. Compact, durable, reliable, delicious.
And it's convenient too. It's the fastest single cup coffee maker out there. 2 minutes to brew and clean.
AeroPress is shockingly affordable, less than $50, and we've got an incredible offer for our listeners. Visit aeropress.com/gaze. That's aeropress.com/gaze, GAZE. Again, that's promo code GAZE, GAZE, for 20% off your order. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
All right, we're playing Pentagram.
It feels appropriate for
here. Mm-hmm. So, only because we've been talking about her all day and all week, we're going to put Carol Channing into, like, we're going to summon Carol Channing with the pentagram. Mm-hmm. So, what are we putting into the pentagram to summon Carol Channing? If you don't know who Carol Channing is,
What a gift.
What a gift you have waiting for you when you discover her. Mm-hmm. Broadway legend, TV legend, Alice in Wonderland legend. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think first up, I'm going to put a jar of jam.
Damn it. Is that what you were going to put? Uh-huh. Jam tomorrow and yesterday, but never ever jam today.
So a jar of jam.
A jar of jam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because okay, that is, so I feel like, one. A very famously sung song.
We have to put, I think, maybe Dolly Levi's hat from Hello Dolly mm-hmm. in there, because Carol Channing very famously originated Dolly and Hello Dolly. Mm-hmm. And so we can put that hat in there. What else?
I think we probably need a white queen chess piece.
Yes.
Because she played the white queen in Alice in Wonderland.
That is true.
So I feel like that would be something that should summon her.
Mm-hmm. I like that choice. You know what I'm going to do is I'm also going to put a string of pearls in there because she was in the Thoroughly Modern Millie movie with Julie Andrews. That is about the flapper era. Mm-hmm. And I feel like pearls are an iconic.
I feel like she often wore pearls too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And then what is the final item we're going to put in to summon Carol Channing? So I didn't know this. But Carol Channing was the first celebrity in 1967 to ever perform at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh.
Yep.
What an interesting pick.
It's true. Well, I mean, they were figuring it out.
Yeah.
At the time. So I feel like we have to put the Super Bowl trophy in there.
Great. From 67.
From 1967. And that will summon
Miss Carol Channing. So we are sitting up here at the top.
Snacking.
When we get up, Cynthia and I had made it to the top first of Zabriskie Point, sitting kind of below the low ledge that is the wall that separates everything. Before Dusty and Becky had gotten up, we took a look at we walked around the wall to what ended up being the viewing area, which is just a paved platform at the top of a very steep paved ramp. And there were some signage here that had some information about Zabriskie Point, some of, the early business people who utilized Death Valley for various purposes, including chemical extraction. You and Becky got up and Becky was like, you guys didn't come up the right way. And we're like, what? She's like, yeah, you see how that path goes to the bottom there of Zabriskie Point where the bathrooms are? Yeah, that's actually the trail. And we're like, oh, we basically came up a desire path. But you guys followed us up too.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. So we all went up that way.
There is a bathroom here, but if you are at the top of Zabriskie Point and you came the way that we did, you would then have to walk all the way down that ramp to the bathroom, which is a fairly steep descent.
It's a steep descent to get from the top of the Zabriskie Point down back to the parking lot with other bathrooms.
So we hang out here for a little bit. We snack. We take some time. And then we start to ready ourselves to take on the rest of this trail. Now, I start off and I'm ahead. And as we're hiking down, my hiking pole strikes something on the ground. And I pick it up. And it's this copper card that's like a credit card size thing. And it's got all of these symbols on it. And I was like, this is so bizarre. It had been clearly in the ground for a while because it was caked in the dirt that was there. It had a symbol on it that I recognize because I have a tattoo of it. It's Metatron's cube, which is a metaphysical symbol. I was like, well, I don't know what this is. I'm going to have to do some research on it later. So I tuck it away because it was like a weird find. I don't think I've ever found anything like that.
It was strange because it was metal.
It was. It was copper.
Metal.
Yeah.
Well, it was a copper card.
Yeah. So I was like, this is weird. I mean, Death Valley providing us with things. We essentially come back down the same way that we came up with a little bit of variation towards the bottom because we realized that we could kind of off trail it a little bit and get down to where we essentially needed to go a little quicker.
And getting back down to this area dumped us right into a wash. And this is the sixth leg of this loop. And so this wash will be where we stay for a lot of the remainder of this hike.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right here in this wash, it's total sun exposure at this point. It is basically flat. It is a fairly level trail at this moment. We take this out back toward what will eventually connect us at the Gower Gulch Loop. Yeah. But now we're up next to all of those mounds we'd seen in the distance. So we're seeing them there up on our left. We're seeing the mounds we walked through before on the right as we are walking through this wash.
And there's a lot of varying texture here. It's a little different. This almost feels like the initial part of the Golden Canyon section, although we are in a much wider washy area. The terrain here is a lot rockier than other parts of the trail, but otherwise it's not too bad.
We while we were sitting at Zabriskie Point, we had noticed there were some mounds in the distance with some very interesting colors on them. There was some bluish green, there was some pinkish copper in some of the mounds, and while we were walking through this wash, it brought us very close to those areas, so we were able to see them up close.
Eventually, we do meet up with the junction that would have been the end of the shortcut that we would have taken before, had we taken it, kind of right off Golden Canyon, where we hit that shortcut that could have brought us to Gower Gulch or up to Zabriskie Point. But we continue along in the wash here. And this was a very long, kind of hot trudge. We did get some great views of colored rock on the wash floor next to the Golden Mounds. But for the most part, if we spotted shade, we tried to stay as close to the walls as possible, where there was still some overhanging rock that was still casting a little bit of shadow, just so we weren't in the sun and in as much sun exposure, because it was first day of really, truly hiking in the heat here.
Now, what was great was this part of the trail was made for green rooms.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of very easy green rooms to
find. Do we want to explain what a green room is?
What's a green room?
What's a drive-in? A green room is what we picked up as hiking jargon that was gifted to us from Cynthia from a trip that she took, where a guide said that the bathroom was a green room when it's out in nature.
Yes, when you're out in nature, I'm going to go find a green room.
Yeah. Which has now become adopted terminology for us.
For us,
yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Green room is also a place in the theater, basically where you hang out that's not backstage.
And you go to the bathroom.
It's not backstage, and it's not your dressing room. Mm-mm. It's a green room, and it's important to have that space back mm-hmm. there.
So you can go to the bathroom.
Sure.
Right. We quickly realize that this section of the trail is less about the fun in between the mounds and more about getting up close to the colors in the canyon walls, which was made especially easy if it was shady, because that's where we wanted to be anyway. We eventually turn a corner in the wash and see a trail leading very, very high up atop a mound. Based off of our map and what we had read about the trail, we were a little concerned that this is what we were going to have to do. And we all, I think, collectively took a moment to grieve this pain that we were going to feel from the uphill, because it was a bigger uphill than anything we'd encountered that day. We put on some more sunscreen, we eat some more snacks, and we prepare for what this insane uphill is going to be.
Let's just talk about looking at that right, like from the wash. It was so high.
Oh, yeah.
This trail went all the way up and it zigzagged all the way up and over a mound. And we were like, we thought we were done with uphill today.
Right.
But no, it looked like we weren't. It looked like, oh, we were headed right there. There was even like a section that looked like it was heading, like it was a mine. Like
yeah, there was like, a door.
Like there was a door to a mine, which I feel like would be in like a YA book or something right. like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, we were not happy.
A door to the mine.
A door to the mine. Mm-hmm. We were not happy about this. We were
sad.
We were sad. We were tired already. I mean, we had hiked at this point 3.5 miles and we were tired. And then
the heat,
and now we were about to have to go up and over this epic uphill.
And with that, let's take our next break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Nettie Funfetti.
Nettie Funfetti.
I do love a rhyming name.
Mm-hmm. You do. This is why you like one letter change when it's rhymers, because when they're not, it's really
hard. When it's rhymers. I do. I guess my brain like
wants to connect those dots.
I think I just enjoy a good rhyme. Mm-hmm. What can I say? Mm-hmm. Like Carol Channing enjoys a good rhyme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Nettie Funfetti.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Nettie Funfetti?
Well, there's definitely a lot of confetti in yeah. her act.
Sure.
It's like cannons going off at all times.
I do feel like there's also funfetti cake mm-hmm. in her
oh,
act.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's the merch. The merch right. is food and it's funfetti cake.
And it's packaged lovely.
Yeah.
Packaged lovely.
I'm wondering, like, is Netty Funfetti, are you always going to a birthday party? Is it like that's the feel?
I
is
feel like she's like a birthday party queen.
Birthday
and
party
she'd
queen.
She'd be like a drag queen entertainment for kids' birthday parties.
I love that yeah. idea. Netty Funfetti. Like, it's mm-hmm. just fun and mm-hmm. bright and silly mm-hmm. and, you know.
She doesn't, she performs live the hits of Kids Bop.
Yes, I love this. Exactly.
And she does a really bring down the house version of Baby Shark.
I like that.
She does Old McDonald's.
I think she's got like puppetry. Costumes and puppetry for people to use or for kids to use. I love this. Netty Funfetti, kids' birthday drag.
Queen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Drag story hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like what I think would be fun is like if the kids' favorite books are like brought to life in new ways.
Mm, that's
like,
fun.
Like she asked like, okay, what are their favorite books?
The Rainbow Fish.
No. No, I'm sorry. No, no.
She that doesn't one's
not allowed.
That.
She doesn't do the Rainbow Fish. No, I'm sorry. That's not allowed. She doesn't do the Rainbow Fish. Mm-hmm. No, no. I think we've covered tree. That. She doesn't do that either. No Giving Tree either. Cause that tree, that's your favorite book. Mm-hmm. Cause all you do is give.
Cause I'm so
You're
giving.
So giving. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've mentioned this. Mm-hmm. Everybody out there, to the listener, I just want you to know, Mike often gives more of himself than he needs to mm-hmm. or he has available
capacity.
To others because he's an incredibly generous person. As his dear sister, I have to sometimes go, no, 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 no. I don't think you need to do that. I think you need to save some of that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so recently I said, who are you doing this for? So that some person in the distant future can just go, ugh, can be like sipping like brandy at home and look out the window and go, ugh, remember Mike.
He was so giving.
He was so giving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, no.
So giving.
But the answer you always say is, yes, that is why. That mm-hmm. is why. Anyway, mm-hmm. but yeah, that's why the Giving Tree is your favorite. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to be taken advantage of over and over again by mm-hmm. this tiny little man and then just continue to give more.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. I can only give what I can give and mm-hmm. no more. So anyway, yes, I do like the idea of her performing at kids' birthday parties.
And doing books and making them come to life. I love that. Yeah. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes. So yeah, I think we've got the music covered. Mm-hmm. We've got merch covered because it's cake.
And goodie bags, probably.
And goodie bags. Yeah. Netty Funfetti goodie bags. I could see like her face on like a pencil eraser. Mm-hmm. Something yeah. like that.
Mm-hmm. She's like the drag Miss Rachel, I feel like.
Who's Miss Rachel?
Miss Rachel's like educational. She's like YouTube personality. She's also someone who's like very outspoken about the starvation in Gaza. And
know
people
her,
have come for
but
her.
But now I need to know
oh,
her.
Yeah.
I'm inspired. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will look her up. Love it. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
Netty Funfetti. Okay, so we decide to drag it all the way to where we're going to have to go uphill for this section. So we set off around the corner and we notice...
There aren't any signs that are pointing uphill.
No.
We
and
also...
that the wash trail that we're on just is continuing.
Right, right. And we pass another like mine shaft hole in the mounds and realize very swiftly that that is not a trail that we are going to be on.
No. And
fake
that we
trail.
Just have to continue on this
fake
wash.
Lies.
But we were totally faked out by
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
We do continue on.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the canyon floor has been exposed the whole time and it's been hot. But now we get to a section where it starts to curve a little bit. And because of those curves, we get a little more shade. And this also, it gets a little windier, so we get a breeze.
We also start to see some incredible changes in texture and color in the rock walls of the canyon. And we pass some hikers who tell us that there is a narrow rock scramble ahead. This does not thrill me at all.
Not at all. Mike hates lovely rock scrambles.
Oh my God. Brought me right to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike was thrilled and he's down the trail and we don't see him anymore.
I live here now.
We do get to this rock scramble mm-hmm. and ooh, it was definitely narrow.
Oh yeah.
And it was definitely a scramble.
Yeah. It was definitely also something where we needed to do sitting and scooting or turning around and climbing down. And this was also a time for us to pack poles away, learning what we did from our lesson when we were in Red Cathedral. So we have a lot of fun here. This is like adult jungle gym trails. They're always like high on my, you know, list of things that I want to do forever and always. But after the scramble, which is relatively short, there is another change in the landscape. And this is an immediate change of color in the mounds from tan to this very rusty sort of orange color.
Like it's
this
like
saturated
yes,
orange.
Leaving yeah. one realm and entering
mm-hmm,
another.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to our final leg of this trail, because not long after this, we can see out. We get like a view out and it curves to the right and look what is in the distance, the parking lot.
Right.
The parking lot where we parked. But we're here at this landing where we can see out and we can see beyond what's there and it's a gorgeous view.
And know what people want.
It's true. And mm-hmm. so...
You can choose.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So there's a trail. It feels like it's like built into the rock and it's hugging the side of one of these gigantic orange mounds. And we take it around the corner and it leads us, again, stunning views of all of the ranges in the distance that are now to the left.
And even Badwater Basin, because you yeah. can see the gleaming white across. There is like a small actual gulch that's also to our left for most of this that kind of separates as we continue on the path with the ranges to the distance to our left plus Badwater Basin. And the range to our right, which we had all just been hiking in, there is like a gulch that's there to our left. And we do have a decent flattish sort of walk that takes us back toward the parking lot. While it's hot here, because it's not a canyon anymore, because we're open and it's a little bit more exposed, there's more wind. And so it definitely is like a temperature drop here, which we're all very, very thankful for. When we do get back to the car, the parking lot here is completely packed out at this point. I cannot imagine starting this hike midday.
No.
Like everybody else here was
no,
doing.
No, no.
Which,
bad idea.
Just feels like maybe a leg of it would have been fine. Like if I had to start midday, maybe I'd do Red Cathedral and turn around and come back. Or maybe go up to Zabriskie. I don't think I would. Gower Gulch was the thing that definitely was a lot for us.
Yeah.
But I think it also had to do with time of day. I think Golden Canyon would have just been as hot.
It would have yeah. been just as hot.
Yeah.
I might have, if I was feeling really up for it, do Zabriskie Point, like start there, go out and around the backward way, go to the Red Cathedral, and then come back to Zabriskie Point.
Mm.
That would be one way to do it.
Sure.
But I did enjoy doing this as a loop.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put this on this Karen Stone scale.
Great.
How many Karen Stones are you given this trail out of 10?
I'm going to give it a 5. I feel like it was very middle of the road. It's one of my, I think it's kind of my favorite trail that we did. Not that anything else was bad or disinteresting. There was just a lot to see here from an aesthetic standpoint and from like a visual standpoint that really wowed me. There was a lot of fun to be had. Like while Gower Gulch was very flat and kind of very hot for most of it, once we got to that section where we had the rock scramble, even though it was short, I definitely was like, I'd go back and do that again right now. So it was tough, but not anywhere. It didn't feel like above a 5 for me. What about you?
I'm giving it a 6.5.
Okay.
Because of there were some tough uphills. And I think that, I mean, the actual terrain, not so bad.
Yeah.
Like some of those were like flat.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Not like flat with rocks around it, but flat.
Yeah.
But some of that uphill was grunty. And so that's why I'm giving it a 6.5.
That's fair.
So that's 11.5 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Great. And now it's time for some Jeopardy style trivia.
Mike, why don't you get us started with your category today?
So my category is called Put You on Red, R-E-D.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to be telling a narrative tale about a character named Red. and you're going to need to figure out the red based idiom or phraseology that comes from the narrative that I'm going to tell in each clue.
Great.
And it actually is a narrative that works in order. So
I'm thrilled.
It's a story that I've created here for you today. So put you on Red for 100. Red was an average boy of above average intelligence who, despite his academic prowess, couldn't escape this derogatory term for someone that could be synonymous with being a hick.
What is a redneck?
That's correct. For 200, Red was pleased that he was able to make light of the situation, as his genius and rising stardom often had people fawning all over him and pulling out all the stops. From fancy dinners to drinks to the finest hotel rooms, people kept making him feel like a celebrity by doing this.
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking red tape, but red...
What do celebrities often walk on?
Oh, what is red carpet?
Right, what's rolling out the red carpet?
Oh, got it. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Okay. For 300, Red could often get carried away on these lavish evenings. Even though he knew better and had important academic work the next day, his celebrity-like status often pushed him to release his inhibitions and tiptoe into hedonism, wearing lavish clothing, cavorting with multiple partners, and staying out till all hours of the night doing this. Again, these are all red.
What is painting the town red?
That's correct.
I know they're all red.
Okay.
I love that. Something I love about this category.
Okay, great. For 400, Red's rude awakening was quite sobering. After weeks of phoning in his academic work and burning the candle at all ends, he found himself without a job and with a bank account swiftly finding itself underwater. Or this.
What is in the red?
That's correct. And for 500, Red, no longer able to support his evening habits and losing his prominent grant for the important academic work he was doing, was forced to turn to a life of crime. While his genius worked in his favor for quite some time, in the multiple string of robberies he committed, eventually video footage caught him corralling jewels into a burlap sack, leaving him...
Caught red-handed. There it is. And that's well put on done. Red. Put on red.
Or put you on red. Yeah.
Okay, great. Beautifully done. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for my category?
I am.
So my category is called, it's Golden Canyon Word Morph. However, it is inspired by the Golden Girls.
Great.
So in a Golden Canyon word morph, it's basically like a rhyme time, except that the word golden has been changed to a different word, and you have to guess that word.
Okay.
But I'm describing it the way Sophia would tell a story.
Okay. Picture it.
I'm not going to lie. There's sometimes, in order to make canyon work, Your Honor, she had to reach.
Oh, you mean as part of the word morph?
No. As part of the clue.
Oh, okay.
Like as to make the clue make sense.
Got it.
Great. Okay. Ready for 100. Picture it, the desert, 1936. I wandered about with my family, making the journey to a new home. They would say, oh, this reminds me of when I was a child. This feels like when our parents made the journey. We found a canyon that reminded us of times long ago. So we called it a special name. We called it...
What is Olden Canyon?
Correct. There you go. You get how this goes now. Mm-hmm. For 200, picture it. The Grand Canyon, 1961. I took Dorothy there on a trip. We loved it. We walked around inside. We walked around the rim. Then suddenly a crow flew by and Dorothy started to chase it. She got away from me and I couldn't find her. Then I found her on a bench and I gave her a piece of my mind. From that day on, she no longer called it the Grand Canyon. She called it...
What is Golden Canyon?
That is right, Golden Canyon. For 300... Picture it, New York, 1956. I stood on the corner as a troubled young man walked by me. He was a drifter, and he was in love with a girl who didn't love him back. It was like meeting a character from a Salinger novel. Later, on a hike upstate, I saw him again. He was wandering about inside of a canyon. So I decided to call this canyon a name after him. I called it...
What is Holden Canyon?
That is correct. Which is a reference to?
Holden Caulfield.
Of?
The Catcher in the Rye.
There you go. For 400, picture it, Utah, 1983. Dorothy and Stan were finally on the outs. She didn't know where to stay, whether to stay with him or get a divorce. We sat on the edge of a canyon and I told her to have confidence and courage to speak up for herself, make whatever choice she wanted to make, but that it had to come from her, from what she wanted, and from what she felt was best, and to have that courage and confidence to make that decision no matter what. It was a good talk, and she decided to call that canyon this.
What is Emboldened Canyon?
That is correct. And finally, for 500, picture it, Utah, again, 1983, again. Stan showed up in the middle of our chat, my chat with Dorothy. I could have given that pig-faced bastard a piece of my mind, but instead, I said nothing. I didn't even acknowledge him. I couldn't look at him. I wouldn't speak to him. And had he the smarts to give that canyon a name, he probably would have called it this.
What is Withholden Canyon?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And there you go. That was Golden Girls inspired Golden Canyon word morph.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.